Briefly, I've got to finish what I started a minute ago. Briefly. In that chapter, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents." If we do not seek those things which are above, where our Lord sits at God's right hand, these things don't work. They don't work. They only work when we seek the grace of God to help us submit. Submission with an attitude is not a submission. Love that's forced is not love. All right, I'm done with that one. I couldn't let that go. All right. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. When people write history, they usually have a slant on it, how they see it, not necessarily how it is, but how they see it. What we have in Genesis chapter 3 is not a slant. This is not a slant. This is how it is. This is what happened. In this world we live in, we did not evolute, we devoluted. We didn't evolute, but we did devolute. That's for sure. But what we have here is the truth of what happened. As it is. As it happened. That's what we have. And I titled this message, "The Beginning and the End." We're going to see how all this began, and I want us to see at the end of this message how it's all going to end. Now, to start right, if we're going to start right, we have to start with God. We don't start with man and go up. We start with God and come down. If we're going to start right, we have to start with God. That's what Genesis does. In the beginning, God. It does not say, "In the beginning, Adam." It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then we have the account of creation. And every time God created, He saw that it was good. And look at verse 31 of chapter 1. "And God saw everything that He had made. And behold, it was very good. It was perfect. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Have you ever sat around and meditated and thought about the ground you walk on, the hills that you see, everything that you see at one time? This was perfect. Can you grasp that? At one time, this earth on which we live was not polluted in any way, shape, or form. Every day was perfect. This, in this life, this world. It's hard to grasp, isn't it? You and I have known nothing but sin. And even now, the fall of the year. Beautiful time. I love it. I love it. But you know what's happening? Death. It's dying. The changing of the colors is like my hair turning gray. It's changing. Death is happening. That's what's happening. But not so in the beginning. In the beginning, God created everything perfect. Perfect. And when He created Adam, He created Adam perfect, righteous, innocent. Adam knew no sin. He knew no sin. Adam was created. Now get hold of this. Adam was created in the image of God. Adam, he said, he created him in the image of God. Now over in Hebrews, it said Christ is the express image of God. He is God. Adam was created in the image of God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine watching Adam walk stately? Can you imagine just the no blemish in him and Eve? No blemish in them? They walked with their heads up. They walked in righteousness, purity. This is, and I tell you what, it's only about 6,000 years ago. That's really not that long. I realize now, that's not that long ago at all. Created in the image of God, he is created sinless and upright. Adam was a real genius. You know, we don't really have what we would call, I don't think we have what we would really call a genius. We just have people that's smarter than we are. And that means they're a genius. But Adam named the animals. He didn't even ask, what should I name this one? Or what's that? What is that? He didn't say, what is that? He looked at it and said, that's a cow. And that'll be a horse. Here's the reason why. When God created Adam, he created him a king. Adam was the king. He walked on this earth in that garden as a king. God told him to have what? Dominion. God gave him dominion over all of creation. Had he not fallen, he'd still be the king. He'd still be have all that authority. But now we know who the real king of the king is, the King of Kings. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But Adam was given all this authority. He named all the animals. He was a genius. And he had fellowship with God. Did you notice how that God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day? Adam had fellowship with God in the garden. Nothing stood between him and God. There's no sin. No sin. This really happened. This really so. There was no fear. Can you imagine that? No fear. No shame. Whatsoever. No shame. Did not know shame. Him and Eve did not know shame. No guilt. Oh man, what's that worth? No guilt. This is how God created him. And God gave Adam one command because none is above God. He said, I'm going to give you one command. Don't you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. That's your only one command. But that didn't last long. I don't think it lasted long. Adam was sinless. He had no fear. He had no shame. He had no guilt. He had fellowship with God. He was able to walk with God. And then we have his fall. We have the reason of all the sin and all the sorrow, all the heartaches. It all happened right here. It all happened right here. Satan enters the garden. And he does not come at Adam, he comes at Eve. And it says Eve was deceived over in 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, but look in verse 12. 1 Timothy 2:12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. He's the federal head of this race, and he knew exactly what he was doing. His rebellion was on purpose. His rebellion was with his eyes open. He knew what he was doing. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. She was deceived. Satan deceived her about God. Took the Word of God and put a twist on it. He deceived her. But not Adam. Adam knew what he was doing. And I believe Adam loved the creature more than the Creator. Christ said, "He that loves mother, father, sister, brother, husband or wife, son or daughter, more than me, is not worthy of me." Is not worthy of me. And he brought that fruit. He looked at her, and I don't know what all went on. I do know this. He loved the creature. He loved himself. And he loved Eve more than he did God. That's involved in it. I believe that's involved in it. And he rebelled against God's command on purpose. To be like God. Let me say something here. Is there anything wrong with being like God? Did he not say, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy"? Does he not say, "Be perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect"? Brethren, it's not being like God. It's being God. It's trying to be God. It's wanting to be God. It's wanting to be a sovereign. It's wanting to take that place that belongs only to God. I want to be holy. You want to be holy like God is holy? Be righteous as God is righteous? But to usurp authority, to take the throne as the sovereign and call the shots, now that's rebellion. That's rebellion. And we see that in ourselves. I tell you, it's servants submit to your masters. Is that easy? There's a nature in us that doesn't want to do that. There's a nature in us, we want to be the master. It's just, we want to be it. Adam rebelled against God with his eyes wide open, and the result was death. No, it wasn't power. It didn't reign anymore. Death. Death. I've been to several funerals over the last couple years in my own family. Death. Every time you go, death. That's why Scripture says over Ecclesiastes, it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of mirth. Because the living will lay it to heart. Who are the living? Those who've been given life in Christ. And every time you see death, you understand what's going on. And you understand in a little while, that will be you laying there. Your body. Death happened. Evil and sorrow. Well, we could save this world a lot of money spending on trying to figure out what our problem is. Someone said you could empty half the psychiatric ward if you could just get rid of guilt. If you can just get rid of guilt. Well, there is a way to get rid of guilt. But you can't take a pill for it. There's no pill that you... Now, I know they'd like to come up with one. It would be a big seller. The only way to get rid of guilt is through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. The only way to quiet a guilty conscience is not drinking it away. It's not popping pills and trying to get away. It's not going to psychiatrists. It's going to God in Christ. It's looking to Christ. Now that's the only way you get rid of guilt. That's the only way. And no other way. No other way. You can go to doctors and treat symptoms, but you can go to Christ and treat the problem. And this flesh can only produce death, sorrow, trouble. Man is born of a woman. It's 2 days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And sin has passed upon all of us. We've all sinned to come short of God's glory. You say, I wish Adam hadn't done that. Well, you would have if he hadn't. How would you like to have that guilt on your conscience? I mean, I have the sin of me on me. But when Adam fell, when Cain killed Abel, you know he had to look at that and say, that's my fault. When he saw the first animal killed for its living, you see a lion kill a lamb and tear his throat, that's my fault. Did you ever feel like that? Did you ever feel that way? When you see a grizzly bear attack an animal and eat it up, did it ever bother you? No, it didn't bother you, but it bothered Adam. I'm sure it did because he knew it was his fault. I did it. I caused all this. And if he hadn't, we would have. So what would have happened if only Eve would have ate it? I don't know. She wasn't fed raw in. I know when she did eat it, nothing happened. But when he ate it, it all happened. And you know what? I see the wisdom of God in this. Don't you? Because in Christ, our head, by His one act of obedience, by His obedience, many are made righteous. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Because I couldn't do one thing righteous. I can't think a righteous thought. I'd pat myself on the back for thinking it. And that'd be a mess. I'd just mess it up one way or the other. I'd have to tell somebody about it, brag about it. As if I actually had it. Now look what happens. Fear. Oh my. My. Here is God's creation. God comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam, the chief of God's creation, is hiding. He said, I was afraid. In verse 10. I heard your voice. And I was afraid. And we've been afraid ever since. I like what David said. What times I am afraid, I'll trust in thee. I believe that's Psalm 56. I'll trust in thee. I won't hide from you. If I do, I'll hide in you from you. That's the best place to hide. I was afraid. And then shame. I hid myself. Hiding from God. This genius. Look how ignorant this man came so quickly. This man's a genius. That fast he became the most ignorant fool on existence. Hiding from God. Adam, are you that ignorant? Have you become that ignorant so quickly that you can hide from God behind a tree? There ain't a tree big enough to hide you from God. God said, who can hide from me? The day, the light of the darkness is as light before me. I was afraid. And he's ashamed. I hid myself. And we are ate up with these things now continually, aren't we? We are such a... Oh, we're so... From the tiniest age, from the littlest age, we're afraid. Afraid of the dark. What? Afraid of this, afraid of that. I mean, it's just, we're afraid of everything. We was saying last night, it's amazing what a little mouse running in the room make you do. Afraid. Afraid. Does any of you in here don't have locks on your doors? You don't have locks on your window? You don't have those, do you? Oh, yeah, every one of us. Every one of us have locks on our doors and windows, and we check them at night before we go to bed. Why?
What are you afraid of?
How many times did our Lord say this? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? But He followed that up with this. It is I. Be not afraid. You're just as safe in the hottest battle on earth as you are sitting here right now. You are. We're ate up with fear and shame and guilt. Sin has marred. It has marred our minds. There is absolutely nothing more fascinating than the mind. I do believe we have not even tapped the power of the mind that God's given. Look who our Creator is. Jeremy was telling me this the other day. He's working on a project, and he's talking about the how fascinated he was, you know, this the way this thing was. He's into this computer stuff. How it's made. I said, son, if you consider who created us, we should never be amazed at anything that's created that we do. If you consider the Creator, why should we be surprised if God gives an Einstein a little bit of knowledge of some formulas? Really? If a monkey created me, we ought to be astounded. We ought to be absolutely astounded. And I'm surprised that man is not just... Well, he is. He's proud as could be. Because he doesn't know the Creator. But if you see who God is, you realize how stupid we are. How stupid we've become. How stupid sin has made us. It shouldn't amaze us that we can fly to the moon. If God so willed, He can make us fly to the furthest star away. Look at our Creator. God. Paul said, I can do, and I think Paul caught this. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing that I can't do. There's nothing that's impossible if the Lord so will it and strengthen me. Look who your Creator is. Actually, we should be ashamed that we do so little because we don't expect nearly enough out of Him. Our thoughts of God are too human. They're too human. But sin has marred our minds. It's marred our bodies. Adam and Eve, they were stunning. I believe they were absolutely stunning. But when I look in the mirror, it ain't stunning. It's disappointing. As the years go by, you're like, you just watch it drop. Really. You watch yourself just fade. Our bodies, our attitude. We should never have an attitude. Bad attitude. I mean, we should never have a bad attitude. Ever. Why? Christ has finished the work. He has saved us by His grace. He's taken us home. He's controlling all things. All things are of God. Everything's happening to me is the will of God. Is that not right? What's my attitude about? It's more our attitude. God does not answer our prayer the way we would have Him to answer it. And we have to fight an attitude. Desires. There was one time that Adam desired God. And now we have these evil concupiscence, evil desires that we have to fight. We have to fight. Well, this is what happened in the fall. But it doesn't end there. Boy, if it ended there, the Bible would only be 3 chapters long. That'd be the end of it. We have Adam's call. And God said, Adam, where art thou? Now, God is asking this information here to inform Adam. He's going to reveal to Adam. He's going to make Adam see. Not that he's behind the tree, but that what he is now before God. Now, if you don't, you and I have to recognize what we are first and where we are. What we are and where we are. Before we'll ever appreciate Christ. Adam's going to have to realize he's lost. He's going to have to realize something of his depravity. Adam, where art thou? He's now hiding from God in the garden. And God comes to where he is. There's grace. There's grace. God comes to where we are. Like that demoniac. The Lord got in the boat with his disciples, went all the way across there, got out of the boat, healed that man, got back in the boat and left. God comes to where Adam is. That's what he does. And he comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It's calm. It's calm. And the reason it's calm is because of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. We'll see that in a minute. That's why it's calm. It's not that God's going to excuse his sin like we do our children. I'll get you, then we don't. Then we'll get you, and we don't. No, he already took care of this matter. He's not. Listen, God prepared a garden and put Adam in it. Adam didn't prepare anything in that garden. And God has prepared salvation, and Christ said, I go back to prepare a place for you, and you and I are not preparing anything in it. He's going to put us in that garden, that place, paradise, just like he did Adam the first time. And you and I are not going to contribute one iota to it. Nothing. It's all going to be on the second Adam. So he comes to Adam where he is. God's going to make Adam realize. He's going to make him confess where he is. He says, I'm behind a tree. No. No, it gets worse than that, buddy. No. You're not just behind the tree. You're away from God. You've fallen. You're dead. You are dead. We have to come to this place where we're lost. God exposes Adam. He exposes fear. These questions are not just random questions. These questions are on purpose. They're going to reveal, God's going to reveal to Adam and to us where we are. He said, where are you? He said, I hid. I was afraid. Well, that's where you are. Why are you afraid? Because I rebelled against you. I'm not afraid of the devil. I didn't rebel against the devil. God. God. I rebelled against God, my Creator. They will mourn when they look on him whom they pierced. He's going to expose Adam's fear, his shame, his rebellion, and his hatred. This woman that God took out of Adam's side, took a rib, and he created him a woman, a beautiful, perfect woman. And you know what the first thing Adam does? He's going to reveal Adam's hatred here. See, Adam's hatred is going to be revealed. His nature now. This is the nature of Adam now. Fear, rebellion, shame, guilt, hate. He said, the woman you gave me. You gave me a flawed woman. Oh, was that the problem? Do you notice here, did you notice as he read this how everybody started pointing fingers? Everybody started pointing fingers. Well, the woman you gave me, she said, well, the serpent did it, and then the serpent. Everybody started pointing fingers. We have to shut up and say guilty. I did it. Quit blaming my ancestor. Quit blaming genetics for your problem. It's me. I may have genetics that may predispose me to something, but you know what? I still have a choice. And I'll choose evil every time. I I choose to do evil. Would you ever act? You just accidentally do something wrong? No, we choose to do. We know what we're doing. We know what we are doing. He said, "The woman you gave me, Lord, it, really, it's your fault. Really, it's your fault. I'm going to blame God." Have you ever done that? Every one of us have. Every one of us have. At one time or another, you have to fight it off. Because that old nature right there is still in us, isn't it? If I hadn't been put in that situation, I wouldn't have done it. David in Psalm 51 does not say, "God, if you hadn't had let Bathsheba, been down there at Bathsheba at that time, I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have fallen." But he says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." All excuses have to be removed in order for us to come to Christ and be saved. No more excuses. It's my fault. It's my fault. I did it. I did it. Quit blaming each other. Blame yourself. Blame yourself. That I think that's amazing. It's just amazing to me that God made this beautiful woman for Him, and He so quickly turned on her and was ready for God to annihilate her. Adam, where art thou? He reveals this. All this goes on right here. And this is what happens when God saves us. He's got to reveal to us who we are, what we are. And then you know what He does? He reveals the seed of the woman, the cure to the problem. Over here in Genesis chapter 3, He says this. He said in verse 15, "And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Who is that seed? That seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why God, as I've already hinted at, could come walking in the garden in the cool of the day and not thunder and lightning and threatening and death? And you know why all that didn't happen at that time? Because it happened 4,000 years later at Calvary. The death, the anger that was deserved at that time fell on the second Adam. It fell on the second Adam. And He paid for the sins of all God's elect right there. Took care of it all. Took care of it all. And right now, sitting right here, right now, you and I can have fellowship with God again. We can have fellowship with God again. Because the second Adam, who is the Lord from heaven, put away our sins. They're gone. They're gone. He put them away. He dealt with it. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. God cast Adam out of that garden, but He went out with a promise of the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman. The Lord Jesus Christ. The true King of Kings. Here's the end of it. The true King of Kings. The true Adam is Jesus Christ. The first Adam failed, but the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, He cannot, He shall not, He will not fail. Well, Satan attacked him. Now, Satan attacked him in the wilderness after 40 days and 40 nights. And every time, you know what he did? He quoted the Word of God properly. He handled him with the Word of God, and he handled it properly. And then sent him on his way. Sent him on his way. He's already dealt with him. He's not going to fail. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians and I'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to show you exactly what's going on right now. First Corinthians chapter 15. Look in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end, when He, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That's what He's doing right now. Right this very minute, the Lord Jesus Christ is putting down all rule and all authority, and He must reign. And that's exactly what He's doing. He's reigning right now. He's not going to. He's doing it. He's doing it. There's a man in glory that's reigning right now. The second Adam. And He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for He hath put all things under His feet. But now, when He says all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted. The Father is not under Him, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, all that God has purposed, all that God's created, when Jesus Christ has subdued all these things, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all and in all. That's what the second Adam's doing. And he shall not fail. He shall not, cannot, will not fail. Go read Isaiah 42. My servant shall not fail. That's good news. That's good news. You know, the Bible doesn't spend much time on the fall. You don't see it repeated over and over in the Bible. But you know what you do see repeated? Christ, the Savior. How we're redeemed. How we come back to God. He just gives us this brief period of exactly what happened. Why things are as they are. And then we've got the rest of the Word of God telling us all about Jesus Christ, our Lord. The second, the Lord from heaven, the second Adam, the second man. That's good news. Now, I'll leave you with this question. Where art thou? Where are you at? I didn't just give you a good story. I didn't give you a history lesson this morning. Not just a history lesson. It's there. Where are you at? I know you're sitting in the pew in front of me, and I'm standing here. But in your relationship to God, where are you? In Christ or out of Christ? It's one or the other. None can hide from God. None can hide from God. Adam, where are you? Where are you? Oh, Lord, let me be in Thee. Let me hide myself in Thee. All right.